I think it's Mark 14:62. And I looked this up in the Greek, and it does say this in the Greek. Let's go to the arrest. We're talking about power now. Now, I want you to know something. Remember, Jesus was tested in the wilderness to see if he would bow to the enemy's temptation for power. Compromise. Satan offered compromise after compromise in the desert. You're in the desert. The church is in the desert. I'm in the desert. And Satan wants to offer me power for my own use. You can make a lot of money doing this, Cindy. Man, have a prayer line. Get everybody to pay. Do a nice fancy offering. They'll all fall out. Why don't you sell it? Because I don't want to go to hell. God's got all the desire in my heart for the power of money gone. And I won't get into it, but it was a setup to kill my daughter. But remember, Jesus went through these temptations in the wilderness. And this is meat. And I know it's meat. And I'm not pretending it's not meat. If you don't know the stuff that goes along with this, I can't teach it all in one night. Get some tapes or keep coming till you catch on and go read it yourself. But Jesus was tempted by the devil to compromise and to worship the devil. After that, you notice, if you really follow his life, they couldn't touch him when they tried to throw him off a cliff. But let me tell you, this is where it comes down to, will he use power? Because now he has it. He got power from on high when he got through his temptations. When you get out of the desert and you pass the test of temptation, God wants to give every child of God power. If you don't have it, quit acting like I'm waiting on God and all that kind of stuff. The truth is he's waiting on you to pass the test. I was crying out to God and crying out to God. I said, Lord, you know, there's a certain person I was praying for and I really wanted them healed, and they were schizophrenic and they really wanted to be healed. And I said, God, I don't understand. I know a lot of things about how you do things because you've taught me. But God, why won't you heal her? And I won't get into it, but it's on some tapes. But I had a dream, and he showed me in the dream that when he begins to anoint people, they begin to put themselves on a throne. And they begin to take the honor for themselves. And God says, the kind of power that I want to release in the apostolic day, where my people will do greater works than I did, they will go to hell with it until I can get some out of the desert and into a place of pure obedience to the Father's will. The only place that power is safe for those who are operating in it is in the perfect will of God. Judas had just enough power from hanging out with Jesus that when he could not get Jesus to compromise that power, use that power to overrule Rome, use that power for personal gain and prestige, use that power for money because he was the treasurer. When Judas couldn't do that, he sold out the Lord. And I believe he did that because I think he thought he could force Jesus to reveal his power. Judas knew that he was God. Judas committed the unforgivable sin. That's why there was no room for repentance for him. Why? He knew he was God and he still called it a devil. And when he realized that his plan didn't work, that Jesus was letting them beat him, that they were going to kill him, first of all, Judas probably had this unbelievable thought of, oh my gosh, I've killed the Son of God. Because he knew that's who he was. He thought, oh my gosh, I thought for sure he would rise up and we would come into power. And he would think, what a clever idea to use my power for us to have this great position on earth. And you ought to get the tape, Judas, the spirit of betrayal. Because there's a little Judas in a lot of us. And God's got to get all this stuff out of us. Because do you realize that when Judas saw, can you imagine being Judas? And all of a sudden, because you got your eyes on the power of God, but for your motives, for your way to do it, for your way to take over, it wasn't even a bad way. He just wanted his people free from Roman rule. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't some horrible thought. He was tired of the oppression. He was tired of them being hungry. He wanted, just like the Antichrist, folks, the Antichrist is going to come in and make it look like, oh, I want all this equality for everybody. Oh, I want everything like this. I want everything good. I want those Christians are in the way. I want everything good. The truth is, they just want power. And so Judas wanted to use God's power. He wanted to use his relationship with the Lord. I'm preaching now. The Holy Spirit is so grieved when I watch most televangelists, when I hear most sermons. I'm not against people. God wants to set him free. He's going to put him in the fire and he will set him free. If he's able to get me free from the greed that was in my heart and set me free from the desire to be successful, the desire for somebody to think something special about me, then he can set anybody free. But I'm going to tell you what, when I found out that my value is in that I am a human being made in the likeness of God and I will never be more valuable or less valuable than any other human being and I can begin to love who I am just because he made me, and then everything else that he would give me power to do is for his glory and not mine, and I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. When God can do that, God looks over the church and says, where can I pour it out at? And he tests you. Are you going to use your natural power to hurt someone, to get your way, to control someone? How do you think he's going to give you true power? I was talking to Karen today. We don't know that we know that when Peter said, Ananias, they're going to carry you out of here. I pray when I have that kind of power that I'm hearing God and not calling the shots myself. When Elijah was teased by those kids and he basically cursed them and a bear killed them, was that really God? I'll have to go study it, but maybe that was when he began to lose it. When Moses took that staff and hit that rock, he didn't get to go in the promised land. And he was the most humble of men. Where does that put the American Christian? Oh, this isn't a happy, happy message. She's not telling us how great we are. Thank God! Because if you can begin to get the heart and the mind of God about how he's going to do this thing, then he'll do the work in you that you'll really have his power. When you will go and lay hands on a little baby that's dying, and give that baby back to the mother because the father showed you to do that. And because the father knows that family's going to get saved. That baby's a gift I'm giving them back. And they're going to hear everything you have to say about me and my kingdom. Instead of you wanting to be on the front page of Charisma magazine to tell everybody what you did. I'm getting where I don't even like any of it. Because it's also perverted. Not the magazines, not the TV shows, the hearts of man. The hearts of man. We haven't recognized our wickedness, folks. And we wonder why we're floundering and not seeing awesome things of God. I'm going to see them. I'm going to see them. Because by his grace, he can kill me. That he can get the glory. See, he's got me to a place of knowing I don't want to eat of the tree. I don't want to figure things out. I don't want to know what's going to happen next. I don't care what you think about me. See, he's going to get us so totally lost in the place of rest and in the anointing of God. We're going to be inside power. God told me, I know yesterday I get all mixed up. But he said, Cindy, let me tell you something. He said, you're going to be purpose-driven. And you hear all these people talk about purpose-driven. Because you're going to be purpose-driven. I said, what are you talking about? My purpose. You're going to be my purpose-driven. And he goes, guess what? All it is my Holy Spirit doing what I want him to do. That's your purpose. I just need a body. That's why we called you the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit needs a body to do what I want to do. I don't need you. I don't need your brains. Please, Cindy. I don't need your money. I don't need this. I don't need anything. I need a body. I need a body, like a real body. I need a mouth that will talk, but I get to speak through it. I need legs that'll go where I want them to go. I need hands that will lay hands where I want them. See, Cindy, the purpose is going to come from me, because everything that is for me. Everything that matters, the only thing that will not burn in the fire, the only thing that's going to count for eternity is what I do. I don't need you, but I've chosen to have a body of Christ. I just need a body. If you would get out of the way with yourself and let my Holy Spirit use your body, we're going to do awesome things. And you get to come along for the ride, because you're going to be in the rest. You're just going to hang out in the rest and enjoy me. Why can't that be enough? Who are you trying to prove something to? Why do you have to try to feel better than somebody else? More important than somebody else? More special than somebody else? Why can't it be enough that you're mine? And then when you get that revelation that that's what it's all about, not your works, not trying to please me, but straight out, just come on, baby, we're going for a ride. The Holy Ghost is going to do what he's been sent to do. Jesus did what he was sent to do because he's God. So God died for us, so we can't take any credit for it. Now the Holy Spirit's going to work through us that all men could hear the gospel. And see, God set this up so that we'd all know, if we read the Word of God, that it's supposed to be supernatural. So we couldn't fake it anymore. I'm not against the real anointing. The real anointing can make you look weird, act weird, and sound weird. But just remember, when Samson had his hair cut off and lost his power, he still had the same look, hair shake, and talk. He didn't even know that the anointing had lifted. And that's the problem with a whole lot that's going on in the body of Christ. Wow, you mean this is going to be like easy? Yeah. Just let him kill you. You can't kill yourself. Let him destroy. How does he do that? Oh man, this is so hard. This is so hard what he does. He gets you to fall in love with him. What? That sounds easy. Oh, it is. It's so easy if you quit buying the lies. It's so easy. It's easy to give up sin. When I love him, he heals every area that's still bound to sin. And then I don't want it anymore. Oh my gosh, you mean the gospel's about what he does? It's not about what we do? You know, we laugh about that. This is a major revelation. I was talking to a Jehovah's Witness at lunch. It was a combination. I was praying for some lady who was having a lot of problems. Woo. So they took me to lunch so I could talk to her. And then the waiter guy is a Jehovah's Witness. And I'm kidding around because I'm really bold. So I'm sitting there going, hey, man. He goes, so he's flirting with these guys. I'm sure he won't flirt with me, but, you know, he's flirting with these guys, these ladies, not guys. That would be a whole nother deliverance, but we could do that too. But he's flirting with these ladies, and especially this one who has this seducing thing on her. And so he goes, so, are you guys all work together? I said, well, kind of. And he said, so what do you do? I said, well, I'm a preacher. And I said, and she's a probation officer, and she's a social worker. I said, so if you do drugs and stuff, they send it to her, put you in jail, then she handles it, and then they make you come to me to get free. He goes, whoa. I said, that just ruined your flirting, didn't it? He started laughing. Anyway, so I was telling some stuff. So then he came over and said, so you think you know the word? And he starts this, he was well-schooled in the Jehovah's Witness thing, and he was really brought up in it. And he's talking about, I said, so you're a Christian? He goes, you know, I believe in, you know, this thing. Jehovah, you mean Jehovah? I thought, oh man, we got Jehovah here. And I said, well, whatever. And anyway, it was so cool because I said, you know what? Let me tell you what I think your childhood was like. You got this awesome mom. She really loves you and she really loves God. And she dragged you around every day from door to door, and they were slammed in your face, and people made fun of you, and you were persecuted. But your mom was so determined to please God. I said, but man, that had to hurt, didn't it? Didn't it hurt as a little kid to have a door slammed in your face every day? And it just changed his whole countenance from cocky to, man, it really did hurt. It really hurt. I said, man, just to think, to have a God that you got to work so hard to please, and you never really can please him, can you? He said, no. I said, if you could make God anything you wanted, wouldn't you like him to be, you know, just full of love and love you unconditionally and not even ever want you to work for him, but absolutely love you just as you are? He said, oh man, that would be great. I said, that's what the Bible declares about Jesus. I said, you bought a lie. And man, we had this hour. He sat down at our table. We tipped him really big because I said, you probably blew your rest of your tips. And I gave him a book and tapes and stuff. And he was real cocky about some stuff. He'd come back, you know, that spirit was like, whew, if you have discernment, you can feel this stuff. But you know, God went right to the heart of this guy. And I said to him, he's going on and on about the Bible. And this one's a really good one for Jehovah's Witnesses because they think they got a few facts, you know. So he says, okay, so I know I'm not going to heaven, but you think you are. I said, no, I know I am. I know I'm going to heaven. He said, so you think you're one of the 144,000? I said, no, I'm not one of them. I said, they're all Jews. I said, come on, you don't really believe they're Jehovah's Witnesses, do you? It says they're of the tribe of Judah. When is a Jehovah's Witness a tribe of Judah? I said, if you're going to throw scripture at me, let's get real about it. Those 144,000 are Jewish believers in the last days when the tribulation's going on. And he's like, I said, there's not a Jehovah's Witness among them. I said, you do believe the Jews were the chosen people? He said, well, yeah, but then they couldn't satisfy the righteousness. I said, and neither can the Jehovah's Witness. That's why Christ came. I said, you need to get free from works, buddy. And then he's like, quoting some stuff. I said, you know what? I said, tell me the truth. When's the last time you read your Bible? And he just looked funny. I said, don't lie to me. He says, 1996. I said, well, I read mine every day just about because it's life to me. I said, you know the difference in you? I said, well, so tell me, which gifts of the Spirit? I'm teaching this because some of y'all ought to minister like this without being ugly. But it's just, I said, which gifts of the Spirit do you operate in? I operate in all of them. Because you mean love, joy, peace? I said, no, it's a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians. I said, which ones? I said, for example, faith, healing, tongues, interpretation. I said, which one? He goes, I don't do any of that. I said, you don't do any of that. I said, but it's the gifts of the Spirit. I said, I'd do all of that. You want to be biblical? I said, why not? Because I'd already told him about what being born again was. I said, why not? He said, because all I have is up here. And I said, yeah, I'm born again of the Spirit of God that moves in those gifts. I'm really believing God's going to save that guy. Gave him my phone. I said, I want to call you. He goes, because I'm going to bring a whole bunch of my Jehovah's Witness friends and talk to you. I said, you bring as many as you can find. I don't care. The Holy Ghost, see, God will tell you. He knows, they know some of their stuff that they got their lies on. But God knows how to get around it. Because he goes right at their heart. He goes right at their pain. You know, evangelism is not a formula. I'm sick of it. Evangelism is caring about a person who's going to hell, to where the Spirit of God says, listen to me, Cindy, say this. Love this guy. Love him before he gets back to the table. Don't debate with him. If you debate with him, big deal. You're right. He goes to hell. Big deal. He goes, love him. And then let me talk through you. Because I know how much he hurt as that little boy.